Greetings in the name of the Lord. We have been studying in this long series of messages the book of Romans, the epistle of Paul to the Romans, inspired, of course, by God the Holy Spirit. Every word in this book, of course, was given by God so that it's authoritative and it's dependable so that we can absolutely trust it today and follow its teaching. We have chosen the book of Romans because the book of Romans deals with the basics of being a Christian, how to be a Christian, and how to live as a Christian. It's a long book, 16 chapters, but it deals with all of the basics that we need to understand in order to be Christians. And so we have been studying this book of Romans, and in the last two messages, we got into the doctrinal section of this book. We began with chapter 1, verse 18, down to chapter 1, verse 32, and then in the last message, we took chapter 2, verses 1 to 16. Now, this section, 118 to 318, deals with the subject, why is man lost? The next section, beginning in 319 to 521, will deal with how is lost man saved? But we're considering this, why is man lost? And this is the third section now of this part of the book, why is man lost? We considered the very, very sinful man. Then we talked about the self-righteous man who's probably a Gentile, who's probably not Jewish. And now he's come to the Jewish person himself. And whatever I say, I want you to understand, I'm speaking very, very respectfully. The Jewish people are God's people, and they have a special place under God. But like everyone else, they still need the Messiah that God promised in the Old Testament. They need the one who would first of all be the suffering Savior, according to Isaiah chapter 53, and then he would also be the reigning King, and that's taught many places in the Old Testament. So the Lord Jesus Christ is that Messiah. He is the one who came to save his people and the Gentiles, of course, as well, from their sins. And when he came, he died on the cross for our sins, so that all mankind might come to him as our Savior. Now, this passage is dealing with the Jewish person who's depending upon the following of the law to save him from his sins, rather than the Messiah that God promised in the Old Testament. This man is depending upon the law of Moses, and very respectfully, I want to deal with this. I want to first of all note the position of Paul himself as a former Jewish Pharisee. Now, this man was a member of the very strictest sect of the Jews. There was no sect that was stronger in following the law than the sect of the Pharisees. They were people who totally dedicated to following the law, and they were trying to get everyone else to follow the law as well, but they were totally dedicated. The Apostle Paul testifies concerning this in a number of places. In meeting before kings, for instance, as a prisoner, in Acts chapter 22, verse 3, he speaks of studying under the teaching of a man named Gamaliel. Now, if you know Jewish history, Gamaliel was one of the most famous of all of the Jewish teachers. He was a man who was the outstanding teacher of his day. And Paul was privileged to study under this man. This man apparently was a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling body of the Jews, because one time in the book of Acts, he even spoke up and urged them not to persecute the Christians, lest the Christians have the truth somehow, that God was speaking through these Christians. And so this man was very famous. And then in Acts chapter 26, verses 4 to 6, he speaks of the fact of how completely he'd been devoted to the law. He had followed it with all his heart. And he had even persecuted Christians, believing that this was of God, that it was God's will that he persecute Christians. Then in Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 to 6, he describes what a pure Jew he was, the fact that he was the purest kind of a Jew. He was not only of the right lineage, and the Jewish people had to know their ancestors, their father, their grandfather, and their great-grandfather, and so forth, but they had to be absolutely pure, untainted by any other race of people. And he not only says this, but he also talks about the fact that as a follower of the law, as a Pharisee and a follower of the law, he was absolutely blameless under the law. This is a very unusual word for him to use, because who would dare to say that they were blameless? And yet Paul could say, as far as I know, In my entire lifetime, I have never disobeyed any principle of the law. Now, there were hundreds of little rules in the law, hundreds of them. And the Apostle Paul could say, as far as I know, I have never disobeyed any of them. I am blameless under the law. But it's interesting to note that the Apostle Paul, when he came to the knowledge of his sinful condition before God, before man, he was blameless. But before God, he was still a lost sinner. There were still sins in his heart. Even though he had not broken the principles of the law itself, there were still sins in his heart, and he needed a Savior. And so you come down to verses 7 to 9 of Philippians chapter 3, and the Apostle Paul says, "What things were gained to me, I have counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I have counted all things but loss, that is, all of this thing under the law, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them as garbage, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ." Now, I've quoted this very quickly for you, but let me go back just for a moment. What he's saying is, he's not being disrespectful to the law, but he's saying that these things were of no value to me. Following the law did not save me. It simply showed me that I was a greater sinner, that I needed a Savior, because the law showed me how sinful my heart was. And so the Apostle Paul could say now, "I have put aside the things I depended upon before, and now I stand in the righteousness of the Lord himself." Now, I want to say a few things about this matter of the law of Moses. It's very important that we clearly understand this, and I want to say a few things about it. First of all, the law does not save anyone. There are people, I realize, and I say this respectfully concerning them, who are following the law. They say, "I have faith in Christ, but I'm also following the law of Moses." The book of Romans and the book of Galatians, if they're willing to study these two books, very clearly teach that we are not under the law of Moses anymore. We're not under this law at all. We're under its moral teachings, of course. I'm not to kill, I'm not to covet, I'm not to commit adultery or any such thing. But we're not under these hundreds of regulations anymore, the dietary regulations and all these other things. The book of Romans is very clear on this. Beginning with chapter 3, verse 19, down to the end of that chapter, chapter 7 of Romans, verses 1 to 7, the entire book of Galatians is very, very clear we're not under the law. There are misconceptions concerning the law of Moses. Some people believe that if I have faith in Christ, then I am kept by the law. One man had this to say, "If I don't follow the law after I have faith in Christ, I come under the curse of the law." Actually, the book of Galatians says the opposite of this. The book of Galatians says, if I'm under the law, I am under the curse. But this man has turned it around. He said, you know, if I don't follow the law after I have faith in Christ, then I come under the curse of the law. So there are misconceptions concerning this. The law never did save people. The scripture is very, very clear that the law gave us the knowledge of sin. So the law is holy. The book of Romans teaches this. The law is holy and just before God. Romans 7 teaches this very, very clearly, that the law is a holy thing. And we don't look down on the law. But the law was not meant to save people from their sins. The law was meant to bring them to the knowledge that they needed to offer sacrifices because they were sinful people. And these sacrifices would look someday to the sacrifice of the Messiah himself. John, in chapter 1 of John, verse 29, said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." In other words, someday the Messiah was to be God's Lamb, God's offering for sin. So every time I read the law in the Old Testament, I would know that I was a sinner, that I needed a Savior, and that I should offer my sacrifices as a picture of the coming sacrifice of the Lord Jesus as my Savior. So again, I would urge you who are depending upon the law of Moses in any way, I would urge you to simply study the Bible, put aside the books that your founders have written. Put aside all of those books and simply get into the Word of God. Get into Romans. Get into Galatians, where the law is very clearly discussed, its limitations, its place, and why it cannot in any way contribute to our salvation. Now, there are several things I want to note. What is the true basis for salvation in the Old Testament? And this would apply to the New Testament as well. First of all, the law helped them to know their sin. By the law's teaching, by its strictness, it helped us to know, even if we felt we kept it perfectly, if I were in the Old Testament, even if I felt I kept it perfectly, the law showed me that I was still not good enough before God, that I was not holy as God is holy. I was not what God wanted me to be, and that somehow I still needed to offer my sacrifices. And so, number two, they repeated the blood sacrifices again and again and again. Maybe even several times every year, every single Jewish person would need to offer a sacrifice to God, some kind of a sacrifice, and of various kinds of sacrifices. I don't want to go into that with you today, but all kinds of sacrifices were offered. And then the third thing was, and I say this again, repeating this, and that is that there was to be someday a Messiah who would end all sacrifices and who would take us now out from under the law, and by the Spirit of God now we would be ruled in our lives. This is taught in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 16. Walk by the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. But let's go back now to the Messiah. There would be a Messiah, a suffering Savior. And these sacrifices were like a way, a means of looking forward by faith to that suffering Savior, that someday the promised Messiah would come and he would be the final offering for sin. But until that time, the sacrifices needed to be offered. Now, I want to say this in closing. I want to say a couple of things in closing. My intention today is not to offend anyone, but my intention today is simply to share the truth with you from the book of Romans. The book of Romans is teaching very, very clearly that the very, very openly sinful man is lost in sin. The self-righteous man is lost in sin. The Jewish person who's depending upon the law, or anyone depending upon the law, is still lost in sin. And every single one of them needs the Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever category you fit into, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot be saved apart from Him. If you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin, you are lost in sin. And again, I want to repeat, and I've repeated this again and again in other messages, if you are depending upon anyone else or anything else to save you from your sins, you are lost in your sins. Some people say, I have faith in Jesus, but I'm depending also upon the law to help take me there. You're lost in your sins because you're not depending only upon Jesus. You're denying what Jesus said when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You make him a liar. Also, if you're depending upon the law of Moses, you're still lost in your sin in any way. And there is the law of Moses cannot save you. It had its good purpose. It showed people their sinful condition, but it has nothing to do with saving us from our sins. We live now by the Spirit. And so we need to very clearly understand that if you are dependent upon anyone else or anything else, some people say, well, I pray to this person or I pray to that person in addition to Jesus. I have faith in Jesus, but I'm also believe that somebody else will help me go to heaven. No one else helps you go to heaven. Everyone else who has ever lived apart from the Lord Jesus Christ has been a lost sinner like ourselves. In other words, they are in the same position historically as we are today. And so we cannot depend upon anyone else to help us go to heaven. So I want to leave this with you, and I pray that you will come to the Lord Jesus Christ if you have not. And if you have come to him already, you will live in him and you will follow him with all your hearts. May the Lord help you, each one.